Well, good morning, everybody. Hi. My name is Trace Peace, for those of you who don't know me. I assume most of you do, though. Brad Peace is my father. He's one of the pastors of this church, the pastor of this church. I don't really know. And I'm here today to talk to you guys a little bit about an experience that I recently had in Guatemala. So just to give you a little more information about myself, I'm a junior in high school. I attend Meadowbrook Christian School. And at our school every year, they send the junior class on a missions trip. And our class decided to go to a place that the church there is kind of tied into. It's Guatemala. So, yes, Guatemala. But how this all kind of came about and why I'm talking to you guys today, before the missions trip, we had to do some fundraising. But my dad kind of had told me and let me know that, you know, the church had been saving up some for someone to go on missions. And he said that I should go and talk to the elders and kind of present to them what I'd be doing. And they were generous enough to support me on this trip. And something that my dad was kind of reminding me of recently is, and what I wanted to share with you guys, is that, you know, just as important as it is, here, I'll go ahead and read this verse. It's Romans 10, 13 and 15. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And the part that we kind of wanted to highlight, or he suggested I should highlight, is, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? And so this kind of reminds us that, you know, just as important as the people are who go and are actually sharing the gospel, are the people who are backing them and supporting them, like you guys did. So just kind of wanted to say thank you for that. So for those of you who don't know, Guatemala is in Central America. So as you can see, that one up there, that's us, that's Pennsylvania. And then down there in the bottom left corner with the big red circle, that's Guatemala. And so this is a better view. You can't really see the outline, but there's the country. You can see Guatemala. And then in red where the pointer is, that's Sololá. That's the town that we were staying in while we were working in this other town. And this next picture, it's not the greatest. I'm sorry, I kind of had to improvise. I was like taking pictures off Google Earth and stuff. Anyway, so that lake is right underneath where the arrow is in the last slide. I can't even pronounce it. It's just some lake. So right there is Sololá, right above it. It's kind of like, it's a smaller city in Guatemala. It's kind of the equivalent to somewhere like Williamsport, maybe. So, I mean, there are a lot of people there, but it's nothing crazy, no huge buildings or anything. And then up there, that's Sucubal. That's where we spent most of our time. So we were staying in this town right above the lake, and then every morning we would take about an hour bus ride to get to Sucubal, where we would be helping the kids and stuff. And then I also have highlighted Antigua. That's a bigger city, somewhere that we went and visited towards the later end of the trip. So, day one. This was Monday, the 11th, I believe. So this whole day was pretty much just traveling. So here I have a picture. This is us flying into Guatemala. You can't see it that well, but right below the wing is all just like these beautiful rolling, like really rigid hills, and just coming in, it was just incredible to see. So all of the, on like all the different levels of the hills, they had it cleared out, and then they had buildings put on all of it. So like, imagine like different like levels and then different levels of cities going on top of them. It was really cool to see. And then this was the bus that we were in. That's what we traveled in everywhere we went. And if you think the roads are bad in Pennsylvania, you should visit Guatemala because it's a life-changing experience, let me tell you that. So, also, Americans are much taller than Guatemalans. So for about the first 2 days, you need to watch your head when you're getting into these things, because I'm pretty sure every one of us at one point hit our head pretty hard while we were getting in. But also, just to get back to the roads a little bit, there are like no traffic laws there. So everyone's just kind of going along and you just kind of figure out what everyone's thinking and stuff. So it's pretty crazy. But it was a lot of fun. So day two, we got into Sololá. We got ready, got all our stuff together, and we went in and we did our first day of actually interacting with the kids. So we were kind of broken up into different groups. Each group had like 4 or 5 kids in it. And our group, the first day, was doing the... there's another picture of Super Bowl. Forgot about that. Just kind of some building and stuff. It's real... a lot of fields around. It's very like agricultural in that area. But our group was... spent the first day in the morning doing construction. So a lot of what we focused on was just doing like mixing cement and stuff for the guys there. They were all incredible people, super hard workers. It's pretty crazy what they do. But they don't have any like cement mixers or anything of that nature. So we had to carry buckets of sand and stone and these huge bags of like the cement powder and stuff. And we had to carry all that and jugs of water up to this top. This is on a, like on the roof of another building that we were adding onto. So this is where they would put the kitchen. It's on the second story of this building that was already there. So we had to carry all this stuff up these steps. And then we just, so what they did is they dumped it all on the floor, mixed it together, don't put the water in yet. And then you create kind of like this moat, if you can imagine. So like this ring, sort of all the rock and sand and cement. And then they pour bits of water into the middle of it, and you kind of like rake in all of the, you can kind of see it there right now, it's kind of just a pile, but you just keep mixing and mixing, and eventually it turns into the cement there. So we probably spend 3 or 4 hours in the morning just doing that sort of stuff. And then we got into the sports camp. So this is just a picture of us kind of getting ready. The first day, what we were doing is we got everything together, and then we walked probably like half a mile up. You go out the road and take a right, and there's this huge, it's like a soccer field, but there's like no grass. So it's just all dirt, real rolly kind of, it's not real smooth or anything. But if the kids wanted to go outside and play, this is kind of where they would do it. So here's a picture. It's not super great, but you can see like the ground is just all dirt. They have some posts for a goal there. You can see it like right there. But what we did is we kind of broke into a bunch of different groups. We had different activities and sports and stuff for all the kids to do. So, and we kind of just mixed around and did some stuff. But the issue with this part was, so for the first day, we had like a bunch of frisbees and a bunch of balls and stuff, and we got them all out and let the kids play with it. But the kids didn't know that they weren't supposed to take all this stuff for the first day. So we lost a good bit of stuff. I mean, which is fine because we leave all our all that for them down there anyway. But just the rest of the kids, the rest of the week, didn't have as many Frisbees. So yes, that's kind of what we did on day two. Day three, focused on the kids a little more. That day, we didn't do any construction, but we had skits prepared. So this picture is really dark, can't really see. But another interesting fact of where we were working is Sucubal. It's like a very, it's a Mayan town. So the kids there, and mostly adults, they grow up speaking this dialect called Quiche, which is actually Mayan. So the first group that we went to, they were like first graders or preschoolers or something. They're all about 4 years old, and none of them spoke Spanish. So what we had to do for the first skit, which this is kind of crazy, we had our Spanish teacher hearing what we were saying in English, saying it to Spanish to their teacher, And then their teacher was simplifying it and saying it in K'iche to these little four-year-olds. So it was a pretty complex process, and the kids were very confused. But I think they had fun. Then the next one that we did went a lot better. Most of these kids spoke Spanish. They knew most of the words that we were saying and stuff. And so after our skit, we did David and Goliath, so we would act out a little David and Goliath thing. And then we had little pictures for them to color and these little crafts that we made. They're like the little, I don't even know how to describe it. They're like, you basically have a cup and then a little ball thing and you like swing it up and try to catch it. It was pretty fun. They liked it. Started hitting each other with it and stuff. It was great. And then we did the sports camp, but this time, so what they had is their school's kind of in like an L shape, and then they have a big courtyard, and it's all cement, and they have like basketball hoops and goals for soccer. So what we ended up doing, and it's all closed in, they only have like one gate, so what we ended up doing is moving the sports camp from the field to here, so we could kind of keep track of our balls and frisbees a little better. And it actually worked out really well. All the kids had fun. And plus it was nice because anyone who was in school could kind of just come out and hang out and play with us in the afternoon. So I think that's day three. Oh, just another picture. These are just some kids playing soccer and stuff. It was a lot of fun. So day four was our last day of like working with the kids. So we had like 3 days of working with the kids, and then we did some other stuff the later days. But so another thing that we did, and this happened throughout the week, is whenever we would go in and talk to the kids, there were these two girls that are pretty great, and they play guitar and sing, and they have hand motions and stuff, and all the kids in Spanish, where you can kind of see like they have their hands up and stuff. And so they were kind of just like leading them some worship songs and stuff, and it was pretty cool to see. Then just some more skits, kind of the same thing. We ended up switching roles because we were kind of bored of it, so we all did each other's parts. Like, I think, yeah, so I was usually David, and then me and Goliath switched roles, and some other people switched roles. Anyway, that's not real important. I just said it. I don't know. So then the last day, we brought out this rope, and that was a pretty good decision. I don't know who thought we should do it, but it was really fun because we would have, like, we'd set it up so we'd have, like, a bunch of kids on one side and then a bunch of kids on the other. And then whenever one side would start leaning more, a couple of us, like, older kids would jump in on the other side. And then we'd start winning and then, like, more kids would jump in on the other side. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. You can see, so the guy in the blue shirt there, his name is Pastor Jim Terwilliger. He's our Bible teacher at Meadowbrook Christian School. He came with us on the trip. He's a really great guy. I love him a lot. And then this is Jose. He is the husband of our translator that we had there. So we had a native Guatemalan there also, along with our Spanish teacher. And she was really helpful, like organizing stuff and getting everything together. So that's her husband. And then that's Jacob Snyder. He's a great kid. And that's me and some other kids back there. So day five, since it was our last day at the school, they had like this party for us, which was super great. It was really cool because all the teachers came up and they were the ones, they had like a worship time, sort of, and all the teachers were there and they were kind of singing and playing piano, and one of them could play piano really well and stuff, and it was just really cool. They had like a really nice talk. They had the mayor of the town, he was there. He was kind of just like thanking us for being there and interacting with the kids and all that, and it was just a really neat experience. And then after that, they had, like when that was all kind of wrapping up, they had all of the girls, or I don't know if it was all the girls, but some of the girls from the village made these little like blanket scarf things. You can see I have it wrapped around, and they had each of us come up one at a time, and they would take one and wrap it around us and give us a hug and say thank you. And it was just really sweet, really awesome. They look really cool too. And then that day was kind of cool. So after that, we all went back to the hotel and kind of just hung out. And it was really great because, so one of the things is, like, our class, and I think this happens with any class. Well, first of all, we're not very big. There are about like 24 of us. But like usually like some kids hang out with other kids and, you know, you don't really talk to people who you don't know a lot. But the one really nice thing about this mission trip was like we all kind of became friends. So like there were very few of us who had any problems or who were like uncomfortable talking with each other or anything, because, you know, you have a whole week and a half with each other, you know, it's pretty great to, like, you really start to know people and not just like what they show themselves at school and stuff. So it was really nice to just kind of have like real raw conversations with people. And it was just a lot of fun. So day six was our last day in Sukhobol, which is the town that we had been in helping the kids and stuff. So this day we went to the church that they had in their town. And it's actually a church that the church that our school is in helped set up and organize, and they got people there and stuff. And so we brought a bunch of paint, and with 20 of us there, we got the whole church painted, the whole outside painted in like maybe an hour. Like, it didn't take very long at all. It was really smooth, really easy. Everything just went really well. Then we had... So we had some of the kids do one final skit and one craft with like as many kids as we could fit in the church. So you can see them all there holding up their little things that they made. They did... What? I don't even know. It's like Nebuchadnezzar and the three guys. I can't think of their names right now. Yeah. Yeah. So that was really cool. They did a great job with that. And then their little craft, they had like a paper plate with a door cut on it. And when you open the door, they would like color in little fire and stuff for the furnace. And it was really fun. It's really cool to see them because like, just like little kids with crafts, like they just like, it doesn't matter if they don't understand what you're saying, like they get it, like they know what to do, because they're all just super creative and stuff. So that was cool. So day seven, Sunday, we spent in San Juan. So I have this little picture. This is from there. So you can see this is the lake that we were at, and we were spending most of our time like up above it, kind of in that region. So we came down into this right here, which is, I can't remember the name of it, but basically, so there are 12 cities, kind of. They're not super big, but they're all cities, and they're all surrounding the lake, and the cool thing about it is they're all named after one of the disciples of Jesus. So we went into San Juan, which is right there. I believe it's one of those two. So we took a boat across, which was a lot of fun and really cool, and I have some cool pictures of that. But here, let me get to it. So these are called tuk-tuks. They're like little taxis in the area. So the roads aren't very big, so not a lot of people have cars. They all either ride bikes or ride in these little tuk-tuks. So they only have three wheels, and you drive them. You don't have a steering wheel in them. They're like little like dirt bike handles, but so you can fit six people in them, including the driver. So you can have three across the front, one on each side of the driver, and then three in the back. And it was something else. But the crazy thing was, so while we were taking our boat across, here, let me get to it. So we were supposed to go into this town right here, San Juan, but the dock wasn't big enough for our boat. So we couldn't dock there, so we ended up having to go to San Pedro. But these other guys, I think that's who's in the picture right here, yeah, these guys right here, we had it organized that one company of tuk-tuks was going to come in and pick us up, but this other group saw a boat coming with a bunch of white people on it, and they're like, oh, let's go get them, we can pick them up and take them. And so they all pull their tuk-tuks in this little road here, and they're like, all right, like, you guys can hop in and stuff. And they're like, our translator guys were like, no, we already have people coming. Like, you guys can get out of here. And they're like, okay, well, we're not going to move. So you guys have to take our tuk-tuks to get to the church that you guys are trying to go to. And So they talk for like maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. And we're all just kind of standing there like, what's going on? And then PJ comes back, our Bible teacher comes back, and he's like, all right, guys, grab everything. We're walking up. So we had to walk probably like a mile up this road to get past all these guys and get to the tuk-tuks that were supposed to pick us up and get in them and then go back around to the other town that we were supposed to be in. So it was a pretty interesting detour, I guess you could call it. So this is the church that we went to. This was a Sunday service. What's really cool about the church is it's very youth-oriented. So, like, there were only kids who were doing the worship, who were doing the music and stuff. And they had, like, different, like two kids would come up and sing a song, and then two other kids would come up. And then they had a band, and the band would play. And, like as I said, like, they were all younger than 15 years old, probably. And then for the final, like, two songs or something, they had all, like, the real little kids, like, in preschool and stuff, and they all came up and were singing, and it was pretty cute. So this is the boat that I was talking about. So it's that one right there. I guess the only boat in the picture. But, like, as you can see, like, it's just a beautiful... Whoa. Okay. It's a really beautiful area. All around it are volcanoes, which was really crazy to see, and they're all like puffing smoke and stuff. So right there, that's just a cloud. Actually, that's not it. Anyway, right here. So right there, you can see there are like kind of two peaks, and those are both volcanoes, and there's actually a third one too. You can't see it in this picture, but it's really cool because while you're going across, like you just look across the lake, and you just see these three huge volcanoes. It was really just amazing to see. And all around, you know, just different mountains and stuff. It was a really awesome experience. So day 8 was our last day in Guatemala. Then this was spent, well, the first day we went to the first part of the day, we went to these ruins, and it's actually a crazy story. So last summer, there was this volcano you can see in the background where all the smoke is coming out of. That volcano erupted. And so they have, you know, like the government or whoever, I don't really know the story too clearly, but basically they have these instruments and stuff where they can see when it's gonna, like, if it's starting to build up pressure, like when it's gonna erupt and all that. And apparently they knew like 6 hours in advance when it was gonna go off, and they like sent out a warning to all the towns, but for whatever reason this town that we visited never like received a warning, and so they didn't know that the volcano was about to go off. So we went, and while we were there, is there's this lady, I can't remember her name right now, but she was one of the people who lived in this town, and her fiance were having some party at their house or something, and like her whole entire family was there. She said 50 family members were all there at her house, and crazily enough, while this was going on, her and her fiance went out to the market to get more food and stuff to bring back and cook and have with the family. But while they were gone is when the volcano erupted. And they said that, like, when that lava, like, when that type of lava comes out, it's like water coming through. So it's basically a flood, which is, as you guys know, very destructive. But it's lava instead of water. So it just kind of came rushing through. There were rocks, like, we were kind of walking around the ruins and stuff, and you could see there were boulders, probably, like, both of these speakers up here put together, just blasted off, coming down, landing in the village and stuff. So her whole family ended up, they weren't able to get out in time, and so they were all stuck in the ash and lava and stuff. So the government like said that they were only going to do so much for them because, you know, it's kind of not a lot you can get back from that kind of destruction. But she once, right now she's living in this little shack that's right above where her old house used to be, and it's just like tin metal like plates just kind of like stacked on top of each other and stuff, and that's where she's been since the summer. And she wants to get an excavating crew in to dig out her old house and, you know, see if she can what she can find, anything that she can get back. And so towards the end of the day, while we were walking away, they decided that they were going to try and get some money together. It's like about $300 a day, which, or like $200 a day, which equates to like 12,000 Q's, which is the currency that they use down there. So we put together, everyone chipped in a little bit, you know, and we got enough money together for her to do 2 days of digging around her house. So hopefully that all goes well, and I think we're going to hear about that soon, so, or we should at least. And there you can see, so the level of ash that was there, it's crazy. So anything below like the top of a second story was just completely covered. Like only three-story buildings had any like part of them that was still like above where it originally was. So you can see this is just like, and they got it down to the first story, but you can still see there are buildings pretty much completely covered by this ash. So it was kind of, I don't know, it was weird going from that to back to just kind of like looking around the city and stuff. But that's what we did. I don't really know what else to say. But so this is one of the Catholic churches that was there that we went and visited. It was just a cool structure, I don't know. And then this archway is pretty interesting. It's the only overroad arch in the city. And the reason for it is when Catholicism kind of came in, there were a lot of people who became nuns, and nuns weren't allowed to be like seen in public or while they were praying or something like that. So this archway was built just for them so they could get across the street into their other building without having to actually cross the street. So they could go through that tunnel to get to the other side. So that was pretty interesting. And then that's all of us standing underneath it. So, yeah. And then this was also really cool. So this is like a really old church that was there. It's more of a monastery. It's where all the, or like, I guess a different group of nuns would live. And so this picture, if you can imagine, it's basically like a circle of these 18 different corridors. And like they were each dedicated to a different thing. So like one would be like dedicated to fasting. So you'd go in there for a couple of days to fast, and you'd go into a different one just for prayer, and another one was for singing and reading and different things like that. But the way that it's designed, so if you stand right where he's standing on that block, and you say something, the sound will like go around the entire corridor, and it will go into each thing, so you don't have to like turn around and say it to different things, so everyone will be able to hear it at the same level. But it's really interesting because if you stand there and you say something, you can like hear it behind yourself too. So it sounds like you're hearing yourself talking to yourself while you're saying something. It's really crazy. It's something else. And then this is the last night that we spent there. We went to a really nice restaurant there and all got some great food. And these guys, you can kind of see like this one right there, he's all dressed up in this costume. And they were all, they had a band playing, and these guys were all dancers. So after you were like kind of finishing with your meal, they would all come out and they did this like dance skit type thing. And it was really cool. And then they had like, they would kind of go around and give their maracas to different people, like different kids in our class and stuff, and they'd go out and dance with them, and it was just a really great time. To wrap everything up, I guess I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been giving over the past couple years. Probably weren't consciously thinking about it, but it definitely allowed me to go and have this experience and hopefully help some other people while I was there. So I think that's it.
Okay. Can we put me on? Joe.
That's not it.
No, it's not it. So I let Trace put this together. I wanted him to do it on his own. And great job.
Thanks.
But we're going to do more than that.
Okay.
Here's the deal. That was a great summary of his trip as far as like kind of seeing where he went and stuff, but we're only partly interested in that. Okay? What we're more interested in is, so what I want to hear is, how did it either, tell me a story about how it impacted people there for Jesus? Because the verse that you started off with was this idea that there's two groups of people, those who go and those who send. And the reason for going, as it said, was to let them know about who Jesus is and his relationship to God and what his work was. So the first thought that I have is, some things you left out was the idea that the school that you went to was considered a public school, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this isn't, they didn't go to like a private school or something like that. This is a public school. They went in and there were hundreds of kids?
Yeah, about 200 kids every day.
So there were 200 kids that were coming out. And so did you see anybody have any interaction with them? In what ways do you think much of Jesus was made? Was it just by serving them? Did anybody communicate with them? Tell me a story. I know I didn't
okay.
help you on this.
Yeah.
Tell me one story, and I got another question for you. Don't
okay.
take too long.
Okay. So the first one that comes to mind is, in the one picture I had up, there was this kid, his name is Francisco, and he has, we weren't really sure what it was, but it was some mental disability. So he was a little bit slower, you know, not quite as aware as the rest of the kids. And, you know, some of the kids in our class kind of fell in love with him, you know, just because he's so, like, innocent in a way, or hopeless. I don't know what you want to describe it as. But he had these really old, like, worn-down shoes, like most of the kids did. But, you know, and his family, he had a older sister, I'm pretty sure, and I didn't see her, so I'm not sure if she was the same way or not, but I know that, like, one example where we were kind of shown God's love is one of the kids in our class had purchased a new pair of shoes for him, so they went and gave him the shoes to wear, and it was just kind of a neat moment where, like, one of the kids in our class was kind of just, like, giving this to the Francisco. So I think that's... Does that answer your question?
Well, were there any kids, like, did they present the gospel and things like that? Did they have anything like that occur?
Yeah. So after every skit, I guess I probably should have included this. so after every skit, what we would do is, like, kind of while we were wrapping up and going away, is we would kind of give them some, like, gospel message in a way that tied in with the story. So, like, with David and Goliath, you know, kind of this little kid taking on this huge giant, we were kind of talking about how, you know, like, with God, you can achieve things that you wouldn't be able to normally do on your own. And kind of, like, ask them, you know, like, do you want God to be on your side? Like, do you want to have, like, him as your friend? And they were all pretty enthusiastic about it. And we had New Testament Bibles in their native language that we handed out to all of them as well afterwards. So.
Okay. And then the other question I have for you is, so, I mean, we picked you up, I don't know, it was like 11 or 12 o'clock at night, maybe, I don't know, somewhere around there. And, you know, it seemed like it had hit you pretty hard, like, being there.
Yeah.
So, can you share that with us?
I'm going to pull a Brad piece up here, start crying.
Can we ask you questions to kind of get you through that?
I mean, like, right,
so
I don't know.
Here's what happened. So he was, I mean, it was so weird. I was expecting, you know, because you always hear about people like, oh, I'm going on a mission trip and just really impact your life and all that. And I had been on a mission trip and, you know, I thought it was really neat and it did impact me. But I was just like, it's not going to impact Trace. Like, he doesn't think much about it, like, whatever. But man, it really had affected him. I don't want to get emotional too. I need someone else here.
I know, thanks. Help me through this.
It's okay.
So it hit him in that he was reading Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk when I ask to stop talking because we'll get through it together.
Okay.
It's good that we're public speaking. But this whole idea of like, what is the purpose of my life? What is it all for? And as a result, you know, I think it really made him question, like, what am I going after? You know, as a junior in high school, you start to kind of lay out your plan, and that plan usually means going to school, get a good job, and make a lot of money. That's what the code for plan is. And I think he's just kind of questioning all that. You know, when you see all these people in need, it impacts you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that or not?
Yeah. So I think that seeing people in need was definitely what spurred it on. But another big impact or influence of it was my one friend on the trip, Elijah Trutt. He's a really nice kid, you know. Like, he's one of those kids where you kind of, like, know and get along with, but you're never really, like, friends. And that kind of changed on this trip. So we were kind of, I don't even know what you were talking about, but we kind of got onto that topic of, you know, like it. Everything we do here seems kind of pointless when you're down there, if that makes sense. And it was pretty crazy because we're kind of just like asking these questions and stuff. And the one day while I was there, we were at the hotel. It was kind of laid back. We didn't really have much to do. And so I just open up my Bible and I land on Ecclesiastes. And the first thing that I read is, like, it was a note to old people and a note to young people. And it was like, being old is great. You've lived your life. You know, now you can sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor. But just remember that every day that comes ahead of you from now on is meaningless. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, that's weird. So I read the note to young people. I'm like, oh, maybe there's something a little more hopeful. And it's like, young people, youth is great. You know, like, live it up. But remember, you're going to be held accountable for everything that you do. And also, all the days ahead of you are meaningless. And I was kind of struck me, you know, like, well, what the heck does this mean? So that's when I went and I was talking to PJ again, and I was like, what the heck is this? And because, like, I knew about Ecclesiastes, but it wasn't, like, present in my mind that I was reading Ecclesiastes, if that makes sense. And so he just kind of told me, you know, like, read through the whole thing, and that will kind of, like, maybe explain it a little better. And so that's what I ended up doing. And that's, I don't really know, like, what else to say. It's just kind of, so, while we were kind of talking about it and discussing, at the end of the chapter, it says, like, it's a note from the narrator. So if you don't know about the book, it's basically one teacher talking. He was, like, the richest, wisest, so, but it's actually told from the perspective of this guy reading Solomon's writings. So it's kind of like this weird, like, second, third person. At the end, the narrator who's reading Solomon's writing says, you know, after this, here's my conclusion on, like, what it's all about, basically. And it says, follow God's commandments and live righteously and follow God's commandments. And when you first read that, it sounds really, like, legalistic in a sense, you know, like, do this and do that, and that's what it's all about. But If you read, I think it's in Galatians 3:6 somewhere around there. It's Paul talking to the church about they kind of started falling away into legalism and like, oh, you need to follow these things. And Paul says, no. And he goes back to the example of Abraham. And he said, when God chose Abraham to be the father of Israel, like, he chose him because he was righteous, only because he believed in God. It wasn't anything that he did that made him righteous. It was his belief in God that made him righteous in God's eyes. So then you go back to Ecclesiastes when it says live righteously, and you can kind of read that as, well, yes, live righteously, but more importantly than that, believe in God and follow his commandments. Well, it's kind of a known verse where the Pharisees are talking to Jesus, and they're like, okay, like if you're so smart and whatever, what's the greatest commandment out of God's commandments? And he says, love God and love others. And by loving others, you'll be loving God. And so while we were kind of, me and Elijah were kind of talking about the end to this, that's kind of where we landed, you know, just it's all about believing in God and loving others, so.
All
right. Is that
good? Yeah. That's better than describing volcanoes.
Okay.
Right? I mean, the volcanoes are cool and stuff, but that's where...
That's why you did a great job.
Thanks, Dad.
You did a great job. Hey, listen, I mess up every day. Okay. All right, so thanks so much. If you guys have other questions for Trace, you know, we're going to eat together. I can smell macaroni and cheese, so I'm looking forward to that. I'll go ahead and we'll move on here. So if the band wants to come up, that'd be great. And then I'll give you guys a chance to give if you want. Now you know, part of your giving, if you guys aren't aware of this, 10% of everything we take in, we put aside for missions. Our goal is to one day be financially to the point where if someone in here says, I want to be a missionary, we can say, that's great, we can pay for that. We're not there yet, but hopefully we get to that point. So anyway, that's where the funds came for this. All right, you can. All right, let me pray for the offering, and then we'll move on.